Hi, and welcome back to the show. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm so excited that I just finally hit record. It can sometimes take me a little bit of time to hit record because I get a little bit nervous. So I start cleaning and tidying and doing all the things that stop me from shooting the podcast episode. And then I think of myself telling my clients about showing up to their workouts that they have to just show up and take action. And my own voice rings in my head, and I hit record. And I go, Jessica, come on. Isn't it crazy that we just aim for perfection all of the time? Or whatever way we want to call it, that we're aiming for perfection so we're afraid to do something, or we're afraid of failure, we're afraid of being bad, not good enough. All those things can stop us from taking action. And all we have to do sometimes is just take action on the thing. Oh, so I'm excited for this topic because I want to chat to you about what diet and nutrition, what nutrition and fitness changes I recommend that you make over the age of 40. So this episode is for you if you have been doing the same thing for years and nothing has really changed for you. And I want to get stuck in with the nutrition first of all and chat to you a little bit about that. If you are a woman over 40, and if you're anything like me, you are time poor. You may have had a lifetime of dieting or being very obsessed with food. You might go through phases of getting a bit stressed out and overwhelmed with the problems and the challenges that we all face. And maybe you're not prioritizing yourself. Now, all these things can lead to us not being very healthy and making choices that we don't really want to make. And I love to talk about to my clients about like focusing on our avatar, focusing on the person that you want to become, rather than focusing on a number on the weighing scales or something really negatively specific, but rather deciding on the person who you want to become and the habits that person, your future you, has. And before we get stuck into this episode, I want you to have a little think about that first. So like when it comes to the fitness and the nutrition part of your health, what kind of a person would you love to be when it came to those two things? Can you visualize yourself like exercising 3 times a week and getting out in the fresh air and really enjoying nature? Do you think you'd love to be that kind of a person? Do you think in terms of the food, would you love to be somebody who was able to eat healthy and move away from diet culture and everything that brings? And what would the future you look like and feel? Would you feel healthy? Would your clothes fit really well without you trying too much? All of that stuff is really, really possible. But the only way to achieve that is to dump some of the stuff that you're doing now and acknowledge that the stuff that you're doing now mightn't be working for you. And that leads me on to nutrition and the things that I recommend you dump over the age of 40. My first one is restriction. Now, I used to be the restriction queen. However, I used to like think my restriction was healthy. I remember it like it was yesterday so well. The Monday to Wednesday, only 3 days of the week, where I would be so restrictive. I wouldn't eat bananas, I wouldn't touch avocados, and if I'm being really honest, I was afraid to eat porridge. Now, I know that really sounds laughable, but I was in a very dark place when it came to food for a long time. And I used to be really restrictive. Like if I ever went out during the week for lunch in work hours, I would get a Caesar salad with the sauce on the side. I would be very sauce on the side crazy. I wouldn't dream of having pasta or rice. I was very, very restrictive with myself. I would have like a tiny breakfast, a really tiny lunch, and then I would have a carbohydrate-free dinner. And I was unhealthy. I was fluctuating with my weight all of the time, by the way, when I was restrictive. It just never works. So that's the first thing I recommend that you get rid of. Restriction. If you are restricting, you are trying to mask a bigger problem. When I was restricting, I was trying to balance out my binging. At the weekends, I would drink way too much alcohol. 5 p.m. on a Friday, I'd bang it into me. Saturday, at 5 p.m., bang it into me. I would overeat. I would get takeaways. I would have crisps and sweets. Asher, it's the weekend. So my restriction was masking the problem that I had a big food and alcohol problem at the weekends. So in a way, restricting keeps you trapped in, and it keeps you focusing on the wrong things that you need to be focusing on. It keeps you stuck in a food obsession. Whereas when you stop restricting, you get, I'm going to speak about myself. I was so afraid to stop restricting because I was afraid that I was going to get even heavier. And it was the only way in my head to keep my weight down at a certain point. And I was really afraid for many years that if I didn't restrict, I would just balloon. But that isn't that called taking the Band-Aid off? If I had a years ago stopped restricting during the week, my problem with my weight would have become obvious a lot quicker. Or my problem with my health, my problem with my attitude to food, my relationship with food, my disordered eating would maybe have come to the surface a little bit more soon. But because I was so scared of gaining more weight, restriction was the thing that I thought to do. So restriction has got to go. Restriction is unhealthy. It doesn't work. It's really bad for you. And it is hiding the real problem. The second thing that has to go is binging. Binging is unhealthy. It's not good for you. And you're doing it for a reason. You're not doing it because you think the food is super tasty and it's so nice. And oh, sure, life is short. If you are overeating at the weekends and you are like having massive portions, you're doing it for a reason. And it's emotional. Whether it's boredom, comfort, reward, it's the same thing. It's an emotional reason that you are overeating. And that has to go. Or forevermore, you'll be battling with your weight. And forevermore, you're going to be stuck in a food obsession. What would it be like for you for the next 20 years to be still so obsessed with the food? The way I try and think of it is that there's these like low level, down at the ground, miniature tiny problems. And then there's the grander things. And I believe when it comes to our fitness and our health, because there's so many crappy marketing messages out there. Well, for me anyway, I stayed stuck in the really surface, low level, crappy problems like binging and restricting. When actually, I could have been up on the bigger, deeper problems like, Jessica, you're overeating because you're stressed out. Jessica, you're drinking too much alcohol because you're trying to escape your own reality. So they're like the bigger, deeper problems that I needed to face all these years, but I didn't face them. Instead, I kept stuck on the calories and the bananas and avocado and, oh, how did I do it? Why did I do that for so many years? I had blinkers on and I was distracted. I was distracted from the real issues at hand. And this is where the weight loss industry want you to stay. They want you to stay stuck thinking it's to do with the type of oat that you're eating. That they want you to think it's the type of milk that you're drinking, the type of bread that you're eating, that that's because you have an unhealthy problem. And it's not. They're all just tiny little surface problems and they don't mean anything and they just keep you stuck and trapped in a food obsession. And that's where I was for years, years and years. Oh, don't eat a banana. What are you talking about? There's lots of sugar in banana. Oh my God, now I absolutely love bananas. And the thing is, when I was at my heaviest, I didn't touch bananas. And now I eat bananas all the time and they're so good for you, right? So the restriction's got to go. The binging's got to go. Slimming foods, in my opinion, have to go. If you're going near those crappy slimming foods, again, you're masking the real issue at hand. It's not that you need to use slimming foods, it's that you need to figure out why you have an issue with food. And it's my guess is that if you're eating slimming foods, you have a bad relationship with food. Next thing that has to go is low fat. In my opinion, I don't think low fat has its place. I think full fat, again, I think you are splitting straws or splitting hairs. What's that expression? Not needed. Again, it's in the surface, lower level, tiny miniature problems. I better have the low fat or not the full fat. And honestly, when you're healed, when your relationship with yourself has healed, when your food relationship has healed, you're not going to be worrying about the low fat or the full fat. It's not the full fat milk and butter that makes us unhealthy, that makes us gain weight. Absolutely not. I mean, like if you're Victoria Beckham and you're 6 stone and you want to get to 5 stone 8, I guess it matters to whoever. I shouldn't even have said Victoria Beckham. I feel even bad saying that, actually. So just imagine this really, really thin person, and they want to get down like a couple of pounds, and they have a weight problem. They're under eating. Yes, maybe it matters then, but to be fit and healthy, it doesn't matter. It's not important. It's the surface level, tiny little details of these things that don't matter when it comes to food, and it keeps us obsessed. And again, it's something that I used to be really, really obsessed about. I used to only ever eat low fat butter and low fat milk, and then I healed my relationship with food. And I eat full fat now, and I realize, my God, when I was restricting, when I was binging, when I was eating low fat, when I was having slimming foods, I was at my most unhealthy. And then I gave all that up and I went on my healing journey and I became healthy. Next that I recommend goes after the age of 40 are oat cakes and rice cakes and all those horrible cardboardy tasting crackers that we do not need in our life. Is it just me, or do you hate oatcakes and rice cakes too? I mean, life's too short. Oatcakes, rice cakes are so boring. They're like eating cardboard. And again, isn't it just masking the real problem? I wish I had asked myself years ago, Jessica, why are you unhealthy? What's causing you to overeat and undereat? And why are you stuck in that cycle? Why are you relying on food to make you feel better? Why do you do all these crazy food things? Why can't you just eat healthy? Bang, a great question to ask yourself. Why can't you just eat healthy food? If you think about that deeply, you'll get your answer. Why can't you just have breakfast, lunch, and dinner? And snack on fruit if you're hungry. There's your answer to the problems you may have around food. Protein bars can go, protein drinks can go, carbohydrate-free meals can go, sins can go, points can go. Healthy, wholesome food is where it's at. Is my breakfast healthy? Is my lunch healthy? Is my dinner healthy? Am I hungry between meals? I'm going to grab a piece of fruit. Kitchen's closed after dinner. And from there, you focus on the unhealthy habits that are holding you back. Like overeating, undereating, binging, and restricting. Okay, so can you do that? Can you do a few weeks of breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Snacking on fruit if you're hungry. No binging, no restriction, no undereating, and no overeating. And if you can't do that now, because there's no noise left, there's no crappy noise about sins and points and calories and spelt bread and rye bread, because there's no noise, now you have to start asking yourself the tough questions. Why am I struggling to keep the kitchen closed after dinner? Why am I struggling to only snack on fruit? Why am I struggling to not overeat? And there, you are on the beginning of your journey with solving the real problems at hand with the food. You know I used to be so unhealthy. You know this now. You know I used to be ballooning and deballooning all the time. I was always losing weight and I was always gaining weight. I was inconsistent. I was restricting. I was binging. I've been there. I've done that. I've done all the diets. I've been so obsessed. I counted and tracked and weighed. And then I dumped all of that and I actually went on to developing a good relationship with food. All that stuff is holding you back. Now let's move on to the exercise. So what changes to make over the age of 40 with exercise and nutrition. We've done the nutrition, let's do the exercise. So this is the way I used to handle exercise. I used to do it to beat myself up. I used to do it to lose weight and to make myself smaller. I used to exercise because I hated my stomach. I hated that it was big and flabby and jellyish. I hated my thighs. I thought my shoulders were too broad. I thought I was too tall. I thought I was too wide. I thought I was too this and that and this. And I thought my life would be perfect if I was somebody else. I did not like being me. And I went on a big healing journey. And now I'm stepping into my own authenticity and my own uniqueness. And I truly do love who I am now. So because of that, my exercise, my attitude to exercise has changed. I don't exercise to beat myself up anymore. I don't exercise to have a smaller body. I recommend you let that go. Don't exercise to make your stomach smaller or to change your body. You've done enough of that for this amount of time. I don't do any high impact anymore at all. I'm looking for longevity with my body, not short-term gains anymore. I don't do high impact. I don't pound the pavements anymore. Life's too short. When I go for a walk, I literally look to my right and my left and I think to myself, that tree is beautiful. The noise of those birds are amazing. And, you know, even up till a couple of years ago when I was out walking with the dogs and they wanted to sniff, I feel a bit bad saying this, but I would like push them along. Now I'm like, sniff away. Sniff, you show me how to be more mindful when I'm out for my walk. And I let them sniff and I never tug at their leads anymore. Well, that's not true. Sometimes I do if they're sniffing things they shouldn't be. But my whole attitude to walking and going for a walk has changed. I've let go of every time I move, it has to be because I'm trying to make my body smaller, I'm trying to burn off the food I've eaten. Think of the walks we've wasted in the past doing that. So now I stop and smell the roses, and I recommend that you do that too. I recommend that you don't use exercise, use walking as your form of exercise. I recommend you doing it a little bit differently. And I also now, over the age of 40, I'm very careful around injuries, whereas pre-40s, I didn't care. It was just like, yeah, short-term gains, get the workout done. So this is what I recommend you do. If you want to make changes to your fitness and you're wondering what the best type of fitness to do is, if you're time poor, in my opinion, 3 strength sessions a week. In our Thrive coaching program, we do 2 30 minutes and 1 20 minutes. They're all strength. So you get all of the strength training that you need in a week with your 3 workouts. In those strength workouts, we get cardio gains. And that just means that not only are we improving our bone density and building lean muscle, we're also making sure that our heart and our lungs are getting a good workout, which is really, really great. So it's an absolute all-rounder. You get strong bones, so your doctor will be happy. And I know you know the crack with the bone density by now, over 40. We all need to be doing strength training so that if we fall, we're not fracturing something, which is huge in women over 40 because of all the hormone changes that we get. And the bone density decreases as we get older, but you can actually reverse that and increase your bone density with strength training. How cool is that? And just to be super clear, strength training is just putting resistance on your muscles. And you can do that in the form of body weight exercises, or you can lift dumbbells, like starting off with 3 kgs, and then you can make it the intensity a little bit tougher as you get fitter, or you can increase the weight of your dumbbells, and that's strength training. And we do this in my Thrive coaching program with my fellow Thrivers, and we do 3 workouts 3 times a week, and that's that done, that's taken care of. And then on top of that, we all try and get in a couple of walks in during the week. Walking is amazing for mindfulness, for relaxing, and it's also really good for mobility and stretching out after the workouts. So I recommend you switch from beating on yourself and trying to change your body to focusing more on flexibility, mobility, getting stronger and being fit. And when you make that shift, you'll start to really enjoy getting more mobile and flexible and strong and fit. And when you do that, you'll naturally want to improve other areas of your life too, like your bedtime routine, your morning routine, but that isn't for this episode. So I hope you found that helpful. I am here to help you. I am on a mission to help women over 40 get fit and break free from their unhealthy habits. I have broken free myself from so many habits. I quit alcohol almost 2 years ago. It's going to be my anniversary on the 1st of May. So excited about that. 2 years, who would have thought it? I've broken free from my food obsession. And now I'm on a new journey myself of breaking free from my phone. I'm not quite sure how to do it yet. I've ordered a flip phone. I'll let you know how it goes. I'm not sure if having two phones is just going to make things really annoying. My goal is to have my apps phone in my work and to check it a few times a day, because I do love to keep in touch with everybody in our Thrive members group. And then have the flip phone for like when I'm out and about outside of those hours. However, I'm not so sure. I'll keep you posted on that journey. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode today, I would love it if you could share it with a friend who you might find it helpful. It just helps a teeny tiny little podcast like mine get in front of more people who may want my help. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day. And if you have any questions, you want to send them into the Jessica Cook Show, you can email me at jessica@jessicacook.ie. Thank you so much and bye.